Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, Hare Krishna. Thank you for inviting us to speak in this illustrious assembly with the permission of all my seniors here. We would like to speak something from the Srimad Bhagavatam, a reading from the fifth canto, chapter 19, text number 6. It's called The Island of Jambudvip. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Na vai na vai satma atma vatam suritma.
Na vai sa atma vatam suritma.
Shaktas trilokyam bhagavan vasudeva.
Shaktas trilokyam bhagavan vasudeva.
Nastri kritam kasmalaman uspita. Nalakshmanam chapi vihatu marati.
Nalakshmanam chapi vihatu marati.
Translation. Since Lord Sri Ramchandra is the Supreme Personality of God, Vasudeva, he is not attached to anything in this material world. He is the most beloved super soul of all self-realized souls, and he is their very intimate friend. He is full of all opulences, therefore he could not possibly have suffered because of separation from his wife. Nor could he have given up his wife and Lakshman, his younger brother. To give up either would have been absolutely impossible. Please repeat. Since Lord Ramchandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudeva, he is not attached to anything in this material world. He is the most beloved super soul of all self-realized souls. And he is their very intimate friend. He is full of all opulences. Therefore, he could not possibly have suffered because of separation from his wife. Nor could he have given up his wife and Lakshman, his younger brother. To give up either would have been absolutely impossible. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In defining the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we say that He is full in all six opulences: wealth, fame, strength, influence, beauty, and renunciation. He is called renounced because he is not attached to anything in this material world. He is specifically attached to the spiritual world and the living entities there. The affairs of the material world take place under the superintendence of Durga Devi. Srishti Srishti Palaya Saranas Haktireka Chaiva Jasa Bhuvanani Vibharati Durga. Everything is going on under the strict rules and regulations of the material energy represented by Durga. Therefore, the Lord is completely detached and need not give attention to the material world. Sita Devi belongs to the spiritual world. Similarly, Lord Lakshman, Ramchandra's younger brother, is a manifestation of Shankarshan, and Lord Ramchandra himself is Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since the Lord is always spiritually qualified, he is attached to servants who always render transcendental loving service unto him. He is attached to the truth of life, not to brahminical qualities. Indeed, he is never attached to any material qualities. Although he is the super soul of all living entities, he is specifically manifest to those who are self-realized, and he is especially dear to the hearts of his transcendental devotees. Because Lord Ramchandra descended to teach human society how dutiful a king should be, he apparently gave up the company of Mother Sita and Lakshman. Factually, however, he could not have given up them. One should therefore learn about the activities of Lord Ramchandra from a self-realized soul. Then one can understand the transcendental activities of the Lord. End of purport. Om again. Translation again. Since Lord Ramchandra... So here we're understanding about the personality of Godhead. One should understand, Prabhupada mentions, if we hear from the self-realized souls, then we can understand the transcendental activities of the Lord. Indeed, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, one who understands my transcendental activities, appearance, disappearance, doesn't take birth again. That's all you have to do. So here, this shloka, it seems like contradictory. It says he gave up his wife, and then again he couldn't. He could never actually leave her. So this is the transcendental activities of the Lord. That although he apparently gave up his wife to teach moral instructions, he behaved very properly, Lord Ramchandra, as an ideal king, an ideal man, because it was a man who could only kill Ravan. So he is taking the role of a man. Ideal man, ideal king. And he was teaching that one should not become attached to the household and anything thereof. And so he banished Lord Sita Devi, because some unqualified people were speaking about Ram's reputation, that how come he's taken her back? She's been captured by another man. But of course her chastity was thoroughly tested, and we know that nobody can touch Sita. She's a goddess of fortune. Only Lord Hari. So then, therefore, the way the Lord acts is sometimes very bewildering, because he seems to act in contradictory ways. But everything is, all contradictions are reconciled in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's like you are a person. So he is a person also, and sometimes persons change their mind. They say one thing and then change their mind, so... what's wrong with that? So the absolute truth, if the absolute truth is a person, then the absolute truth is flexible. But if it's impersonal, then it's rigid. Then you run into problems with these contradictions. But if you understand the transcendental nature of the Lord, then you see there's actually no contradiction there. The Lord is not attached. Pasita, when we read the Ramayana, he's crying. He's banging his head on the tree. He's crying. Sita's gone. My Sita's gone. He's acting like an ordinary human being. But actually, that is reality. Actually, Ram is attached to Sita. As much as Sita is attached to Ram, Lord Ramchandra is attached to Sita. But that's transcendental attachment. So that's okay. And the fact that Lord Ramchandra banishes her is just another display of his yoga maya energy, that there can never be separation between the Lord and his consort. How can there be separation? But for the pastime, then it appears. Apparently she's in one place and he's in another. But there's no actual separation on the spiritual platform. So you see, when the Lord's we have to understand the Lord's transcendental activities, because two things are going on at the same time in the same place. So depending on our vision, we'll see from that perspective. But there's two things. simultaneously happen in the same space. This is the Achinta Shakti of the Lord. And it depends on one's consciousness, which one can perceive. That is why sometimes you'll hear the Acharya's description of the Lord's pastimes, and you'll hear another Acharya's description of the same pastime, but it's different. But that's what they saw. That's what they perceived. And that's a reality. Just like it says when Lord Chaitanya wound up his pastimes, some say they entered into the ocean, and some saw him going into the temple of Tota Gopinath and not come out. So you can accept both. You can accept both. You can do the same things at the same time. He's not limited like us. The Lord, he says here, the Lord is not attached because he's not attached to anything in this material world. We are. Why are we attached? Because of the the false ego is dictating the conditions, so how to control the situation so they can enjoy in the material world, which is illusionary. So this gain, Krishna calls gain and safety, which we're all looking for. Every one of us, we're always, the living entity is actually fearful in the conditioned state because everything is against us. As soon as we wake up in the morning, we have a problem. So from morning till evening, we're working to keep that problem away. That means eating, sleeping, mating, defending. And all of the things that are opposed against our interfering with our happiness, interfering with our peaceful situation, like the heat, the cold, the mosquitoes, the traffic, the pollution, the sickness. So we have to work whole day for that. Then in the evening time we have a little peace of mind. But Krishna doesn't have these things. He doesn't have that fear. Because he actually is the controller. He's the controller of Durga Devi. And everything's working. He's living everything to her. She's controlling everything here. So he doesn't have anything to worry about. He doesn't have any fear because he has nothing to lose. We fear in case we're going to lose something. Either we won't attain it or somebody will take it away from us. Therefore, we're always fearful. Conditioned soul is always fearful, always afraid of their supposed enemy. Because it's a fact, there's someone always ready to take everything away from us. Right? When you go home at night, you lock the door. Immediately. When you go to sleep at night. And you put the mosquito net up. Right? And you put a blanket on. There's so much fear is there. You can't live without fear in this material world, because it's a fearful situation. Krishna says from top to bottom, it's a fearful situation for the living entity. Some places it's so nice you forget about it. You forget it's a fearful situation in the heavenly realms. Here, this place is very nice. It's not too good, it's not too bad. So this is a karma stand. This is a place you can actually get out of this material world. This is the best place. Because you can do it in one lifetime. So Krishna doesn't have that fear. He has nothing. He has no competition. Right? So he doesn't have anything to prove. We want to prove to everyone else that we're actually the greatest. We should be the center. This is the idea. This is what we would like. Krishna doesn't have that. He is the greatest. He has nothing to prove. So he doesn't have that. He doesn't have that anxiety. He doesn't have that fear of losing anything because everything belongs to him. And in the material world, he's not attached to anything. He's attached spiritually, but he's not attached materially. And Krishna shows that to understand the nature of my activities, my appearance, then you don't take birth again. What is the nature of Krishna's appearance and his activities? So his appearance is divine. We've heard about the appearance of Krishna, how he appeared from the mind transferred and appeared in a beautiful form. And his activities, Krishna's activities were for the pleasure of his devotees. He comes to annihilate the miscreants, to protect the devotees, principally. For his devotees' pleasure is the principal reason why he comes. Everything else is taken on by Durga Devi. He doesn't have to come for anything else. So to please the devotees, to give the devotees pleasure, he does that. And any obstacle, anyone who is against devotees, then Krishna removes them. And these are called these wonderful pastimes of killing demons, etc. And then he has his pastimes of just based on love with his devotees there. And then those pastimes are remembered, and then we're hearing them again. So we get that benefit of joining the pastimes of Lord Krishna and his associates. So that is simply to attract the consciousness, the attention of the conditioned souls, which we are completely absorbed. Maya is completely attracting us all the time. We're so absorbed in Maya, then Krishna appears out of his causeless mercy simply to take our attention away from Maya and meditate, think of his sublime activities. So Krishna acts, and he said, "You should follow me." So what Krishna's activities, he works, but he's not attached. You see, Krishna killed so many kings, right? He conquered so many, but he never sat on the throne himself. He gave them, somebody else, you take. So he's not attached. But he works. So he's working without attachment. So this is what he's advising us. Nishkam Karma Yoga. You practice this. You work without attachment for my benefit. A Krishna's already doing that. He works without attachment for the benefit of his devotees. He's attached to his devotees, and he's doing it for the pleasure of his devotees. So that is the mystery of Krishna's appearance. So if you understand that, then that's it. No more. No more coming back. Just like our beloved Stoker left us all behind. So simply that's all you have to do. As Ramanuja is saying, two things. There's only two things. The Lord and the soul and us. That's all. If you remember that, then there's nothing else to know. Because if you remember those two things, there is the Lord and there is me. And what is the relationship? Servant. He's the Lord. Then I'm the servant. Then what should I do? Serve. Service. So that's it. In two fingers, says everything. So, but Krishna's... the Krishna's activities are so wonderful, they're completely bewildering. Even the unconditioned soul, even the siddhas are bewildered by Krishna's activities. Even Krishna is bewildered sometimes. So Krishna is very much attached to his devotees, and for the pleasure of his devotees, he'll be there. So you see, attachment is there in the spiritual world. Everything is there in the spiritual world, except envy. The material world is a reflection of the spiritual world. So all these things are there. Anxiety is there in the spiritual world. As soon as Krishna wakes up in the morning, he gets his mother's waking him up because he's been up. He doesn't practice sleep at night because he's giving pleasure to his devotees. And to create some wonderful pastimes arrangement. Then he has to get home quick before everyone wakes up. Then mother's trying to wake him up. Wake up, Krishna, wake up. He doesn't want to wake up. Just gone to bed. If you don't wake up, the cows are not giving milk. They won't give any milk to the CU. Everyone is there waiting, and they're not giving any milk. They're simply looking down the road waiting for you. Oh, the cows are in anxiety because of me. My devotees are put in distress because of me. Quick, jump up. Put some water. Rush up the road. All the cows are looking and going, Jai Sri Krishna. Then they start pouring milk. So for the pleasure of his devotees, that's how he behaves. Do you feel like that when you get up for Mangal Arati? So he's not asking us to do anything that he doesn't do. And the spiritual master is not asking anything that he wouldn't do. They're doing it. But they're doing it. They're actually sincere. They're attached, actually attached to the devotees. Krishna's actually attached to his devotees in love. And the devotees are attached to Krishna in love. We want to become devotees, right? Let's come to that stage. And even Krishna is attached to his devotees. Sometimes he tells, just like in Dwarka, I think it was Shatabhama, I think it was maybe in Rukmini, Shatabhama. There was a little, talking a little down about the Brijbasis. So they thought Krishna wasn't treated properly there, you know, they didn't feed him properly because he was always stealing, therefore he wasn't getting enough food. Krishna became very upset. He said, "You foolish woman, come here. I can leave this place at a drop of a pen, drop of a hat. I can leave immediately, don't you know?" They're completely stunned. He said, "You don't know the affection for the residents of Vrindavan? Thousands of times more than you have. I can leave it any moment, don't worry." Before they were thinking he's so attached. And he's acting like he's so attached. So even amongst his associates, Krishna's acting in a very bewildering way. But in every instance, it's for the benefit of his devotee. It's for the benefit of the queens. Their love will increase when they meditate on the love of the Brijbasis. It's for the benefit of us that we can appreciate different levels of attraction for Krishna, how exalted their selfless their love is. Then on the topmost platform, then Krishna can leave them also, just like the gopis. He can leave his queens for the gopis, then the gopis come, he leaves them in the forest. But it's simply to increase that taste, that ras, that exchange with them. So it seemed like he may be acting, why does he do that? Why is he? It seems like he's cruel, but no. He's giving them something much greater, and also in turn he's experiencing. And also with Sita Devi, then after when Lord Ram banishes Sita, then everyone goes, "Oh no, big battle, we just annihilated a whole race practically. Big problem, all this Jamala trying to fight." He gets Sita and then what's going on, you know? Even the associated Lord Ramchandra couldn't understand why he's doing. So it's impossible to know. And we should understand that it's actually impossible to know everything about the Lord. That is the achinta shakti of the Lord. And one should accept this fact that we're never going to completely understand the nature of the Lord, because the nature of the Lord is that his personality is ever fresh and ever expanding. He's always changing. It's always growing. It's always, as Jamuna Devi says, breathing. Space to breathe. And he's always expanding. There's new pastimes and new aspects, new traits of his wonderful personality being manifest by the arrangement of yoga maya with these devotees. So ever increasing, Ananda Buddhi Vardhanam. Pastimes are increasing, and there's all these different nuances are always increasing. Not possible to know fully. But simply, if we understand just how wonderful the Lord acts, that's enough. That the Lord is so wonderful, that's enough. Then we don't have to take breath again. Jai Srima Bhagavatam ki jai. Sipopada ki jai. Thank you very much. This is a dual class.
Sarasati Devi, Gauravani Vacharini, Devasi Sasanya Vari, Pasatyada Satarini. Hare Krishna. I just want to read the next translation because somebody said it was the translation you're going to read today, and Shamsunda Prabhu actually wrote it out by hand for us, so I really want to respect the trouble he went to. So it says that one cannot establish a relationship with the Supreme Lord Ramachandra on the basis of material qualities, such as one's birth in an aristocratic family, one's personal beauty, one's eloquence, one's sharp intelligence, or one's superior race or nation. None of these qualifications is actually a prerequisite for friendship with Lord Sri Ramchandra. Otherwise, how is it possible that although we, uncivilized inhabitants of the forest, have not taken noble births, although we have no physical beauty, and although we cannot speak like gentlemen, Lord Ramachandra has nevertheless accepted us as friends? So here, as Bhagavad Prabhu was saying, who can understand Krishna? He cannot be understood by any material acquisition or position in this world. In fact, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was saying that you don't find Krishna in this world. You don't find him here. It's like we have the deity, we know it's Krishna, but when you see the Archa Vigraha, do you see the Archa Vigraha? Do you see Krishna? It's like we're chanting Hare Krishna, it's none different than his name. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, do we actually feel the presence of Krishna? Or what to speak of seeing his form, appreciating his qualities, seeing the pastimes of the Lord? Or even as a super soul, as it mentions here, he's a super soul of everyone, but he's talking to us at every moment. He's telling us what to do at every second. In between the second also, he's dictating. Will we actually see Krishna? So you don't see Krishna in this world, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. But you see him when his devotee manifests himself. Krishna's devotees manifest them, then you can understand Krishna. You understand through the devotee of Krishna. It's like Ramanuja, Madhavacharya, his sampradaya, today is a disappearance day, okay. So he was a great person who simply spoke about Krishna, who spoke about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and simply due to his influence, thousands and thousands and thousands, since hundreds and hundreds of years, have been becoming devotees of Krishna. Yeah, through his influence. Simply Srila Prabhupada has influenced so many people in this world to become devotees of Krishna. We have Radha Gopinath Jiva Gonitai. We see that even if you see Krishna himself, when you see the Archa Vigraha, still we understand that it's simply a manifestation of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. He's given us the guidelines how to establish the temple. If you're chanting Hare Krishna, we understand actually that whatever realization we have of chanting Hare Krishna, we understand that it's due to the mercy of a devotee. Prabhupada has brought this message of Lord Chaitanya here. So in all aspects, Krishna is actually revealed through his devotee. So, this is how we can understand Krishna. Although he's not manifested here, and as Ramchandra said, he's not captured by any qualities whatsoever. But those who become his devotees, become his friends, then Krishna actually... allows himself to be captured. Krishna says, I am conquered by the love of one who has conquered his mind. So then you can understand Krishna. You see the Archa Vigraha. You will see Krishna when Krishna decides to reveal himself. You will understand Krishna is none different than his name when Krishna decides to reveal himself. This is the idea. So here, the inhabitants, Krishna has revealed himself to them. He's just become their friend. They don't have any qualification. Are they monkeys? The monkeys talking? I don't know. But they say we're not beautiful. We don't have fine speech. But still, Ramchandra, because he's accepted them as friends by his own will. He's seen that state of devotion. He's decided to become their friend. Therefore, he's revealed himself. He's the unlimited. How can the limited understand the unlimited? How can the finite understand the infinite? Impossible. But if the unlimited decides to reveal himself to the limited, then it's easy. So this is Krishna's position. He will reveal himself to the devotees who have developed love and devotion and friendship. Because this is what Krishna wants. He doesn't want the high birth, the education, the fine intelligence. He wants the devotion of a devotee. Bhava Grahaya Janadana. This is what he is accepting. Just like Arjuna is speaking to Krishna, or Krishna is speaking to Arjuna on the battlefield. What is going on there? That's what's going on. I'm with my friend and we're having this rasa, this nice exchange. In Shivari, there's a big battle going on, but the emotions that we're... This is the big thing. This is what Krishna's enjoying. We're reading Bhagavad Gita. It's a big philosophical book. We're scratching our heads and trying to understand and studying and everything. That's just the byproduct of the pastime. Krishna just happens to speak Bhagavad Gita. Just happens to be on a battlefield. And we're studying it for a whole life. We can't understand. But that's just the byproduct. His enjoyment was just with Arjuna. He's speaking Bhagavad Gita. And although to arrange that whole affair and bring... It meant killing 640 million people to arrange that so Krishna could enjoy a little bit of rust with Arjuna. Okay, Krishna said, oh, I don't mind. 640 million people getting killed, that's okay as long as I can enjoy a little bit of rust with my devotee on this battlefield. This is Krishna's... And anyway, because Krishna was enjoying that rasa on the battlefield, and because he's devoted, and because they were assisting in that enjoyment, they all went back to Godhead anyway. They all left in Krishna's presence. Oh, you helped me in the little scene here, so you all go back to Godhead also. So they all went back to Godhead. This is Krishna's greatness. But all of these things we understand, they're revealed through devotees. Prabhupada gave us the guidelines, and we simply expand on it, then you get the beautiful deities, beautiful temple. We have devotees to take shelter of. And so we see Krishna in and through the words of the devotee. Krishna is revealed through the words of the devotee. The Dharma is revealed through the words of the devotee. The Atri Vigraha is revealed through the words of the devotee. The holy name is revealed through the words of the devotee. Chant Hare Krishna. Here are the ten. If we don't follow the devotee's instruction, how are we going to... It's the words. It's not simply following the activity. And when Krishna sees that you're dedicated to his devotee, you're following your devotee's instruction, then he's very pleased. His pleasure is of the most importance. Jamuna Mataji was saying the first thing Srila Prabhupada told her was that here we are cooking for Krishna's pleasure. He said this was the first instruction. And it's the actual most essential instruction of everything. Krishna's pleasure. How very existence as soul or body or whatever we think we are. It is for this purpose. Krishna has... God is one and he becomes many for his pleasure. We are many. We're expanded. Why? For his pleasure. Our very existence is for Krishna's pleasure. So it's just an instruction, the first instruction, but that's an eternal instruction, the most fundamental instruction that goes from now until eternity. Huh? So we can also try to see that in any situation. How is this situation related to Krishna's pleasure? Krishna's pleasure is the focal point. In our devotional service, the meditation actually should be on Krishna's pleasure. The ultimate result of this service is Radha Gopinath's happiness, that's all. This should be our meditation. And then we can learn to see the relationship of everything we deal with in relation to Krishna or Krishna's happiness, because we're doing everything for the pleasure of Krishna. So wherever we meet, whatever we do, whatever we deal with, we'll be able to see its relationship with Krishna. So again, simply by the instructions of Guru, we understand the philosophy. It's all coming from Guru. Guru is revealed always through Krishna. Yasha prasada bhagavat prasad. Yasha prasada ananagita. By the mercy of Krishna, you'll get Krishna. You'll understand something about Krishna. And without his mercy, you'll never understand. Otherwise, you won't see Krishna. Actually, Prabhupada gave me an instruction, the very, very first instruction I ever heard from Prabhupada. Same thing. He said, don't try to see Krishna. Remember Jadava? You were there. Maybe you don't remember. Vishakadeva, he was also there. In 1971. You know, we met Prabhupada at the airport in Calcutta. And we got left out. You remember everybody jumped in the car and they come back. And me and Jadubar and Vishaka, we were left there. We were the new devotees, so somehow or another we couldn't get in the car, and it was left. Because Prabhupada left, everybody just followed. And we didn't have any money. Nobody had any money, so Jadubar was stopping the cars. Can you give us a lift into Calcutta town, please? And so that was the first time I'd seen Prabhupada. When we got back to the temple, then Prabhupada was actually started his lecture, and I walked in and I sat down and I thought, you know, I'm going to hear him in life. And Prabhupada said, don't try to see Krishna. And I thought, you know, I thought that's what it was all about. You know, what I've been doing the last few years, I thought we were searching for God. We were looking for, and I meet this sadhu, you know, I've really been inspired by his books and everything. And then the first thing I hear him say, don't try to see Krishna. You know, I thought that's what we were supposed to be doing. And then he said, no. He said, you act in such a way that Krishna will see you. So that way to act is how we hear also from the Guru. He tells us how to act. Then Krishna will notice us. So it's such a good instruction. So good. Because still I'm thinking, I'm just going to get Krishna in mind when I'm chanting my japa. I'm just going to get him next time by my japa. I'll conquer Krishna by my service to the Didya. But it's so good when you know that don't try to see Krishna. Because it's a big endeavor, isn't it? All of our study and everything, we think we're just going to get Krishna by our philosophical understanding and our services and our austerities and penances. And all that effort goes away when you don't try to see Krishna. Then you simply chant Hare Krishna. Like Bhaktisiddhanta, you know, who cares what they say? You know, who cares what the mind says? We don't care. Let them say what they want. We'll simply drink the strong, tasty wine of the holy name and roll in the dust in ecstasy. So like that, instead of worrying about how am I going to see Krishna and it's a big race to understand Krishna, oh great, we don't have to see him. It's a big relief now. We can just simply chant and float in the ocean of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna, do our service in great bliss without all the anxiety of having to see Krishna, understanding that he will be pleased if we're following, doing it through the instructions of Guru. Then life can become blissful. Even if he never shows himself, still still we're floating in bliss. So this is the greatness of the devotees of the Lord. They're actually revealing Krishna. And as Pankajanga was saying about the devotees becoming fearless. Now we're saying that all the time. We have Sloka Krishna here. Obviously, the presence here the last few days was very, very heavy. Sloka Krishna conscious, and it's very both happy and sad time when a devotee leaves, we're bereft of his presence. But we're happy because he's gone back to Godhead. So we're seeing that now in Krishna consciousness. We didn't see it before because no one was dying. We were all teenagers in the beginning. But now we're all getting old. And it's coming. And so we're seeing it much more often. And we are seeing that the devotees, they're leaving this material world so beautifully, so peacefully, completely Krishna consciousness. Their destination is guaranteed. And now it's happening again and again and again. There was one of our god sisters, Hari Priya Dasi, and her husband was Ishvara Prabhu. They were in Australia at the time, from England. Actually, me and Pankajanga and I are friends even before we became devotees. And then he called me up from Australia. And he said, "My wife's dying of cancer." He said, "You're in Australia." He said, "The devotees are coming." I said, "Now you've got to die like Prabhupada died. You've got to leave your body like Prabhupada left his body because you're his daughter. You've got to follow his example." He opened his house when he was in Vrindavan. Anybody could come and see him. Anybody could massage his. Anybody could come and chant with him. So he said, "I just opened the house." He said, "Day and night the devotees were coming and doing kirtan, talking to Hari Priya, giving her confidence." He said, "It's so beautiful here." He said, "It's so nice." His wife's lying on the bed dying. "It's so nice here. It's such a nice vibration. It's such a nice vibration." He kept on saying. And just a few days ago also, we put the ashes of one Lakshminarayan Das. He was the disciple of, I think, Hari Keshwami, and his wife, Radha Kundasi, put the ashes of her husband in the Ganga. And then I said, how was the leaving of the body? She was saying, it was so nice. It was, her husband's just there, just put it, so nice. It was so, the atmosphere was so great there. She said, "Of course I was crying again, that comes, the mood is good." She said, "But the overall mood of the place, it's so good." Ishvara was telling me, he said the nurse, she was coming from the hospital because they check up on the patients. And she said, the nurse said, "I've never ever seen anything like this in my life before. I'm seeing people die all the time. It's my business. I go to the house. Everybody's there. They're chain smoking cigarettes, knocking back the, drowning their sorrows in taking a shot of whiskey or something like that. Pacing up and down. There's lamenting, crying. I come here. The people are dancing. They're chanting Hare Krishna. There's such a beautiful vibration in this house. I've never experienced anything like this before." And it's a fact. When the devotee leaves, they're talking about Durga Devi, she clears the path. She's the one who gives her all the problems in the material world with the Adi Devik, Adi Bhautik, Adi Atmic tree salt, boom, boom, boom. But for a person who becomes a devotee, she clears the way, no more problem. He's going back to Godhead. She's the mother of the demigods. All the devas come. It's a rare thing. It never happens before in history, practically, that someone goes back to Godhead. Demigods come, and they clear the way. In the next chapter, I believe, it talks about the demigods coming here because you only take one birth in this land of Bharatvarsha. And because the Sankirtan movement is here, it's one birth and you go back to Godhead. And they're saying, why did we waste our time? Come up, we've got thousands of years up here, down there. They're just a little life and they're going back to Godhead. Prabhupada said they're queuing up to take birth in ISKCON. But this is practically unheard of in history, how people are leaving the world. And Prabhupada said, this movement will go down in history of being that movement that saved millions and millions and millions of lives. And now we see it's practically happening. This is the test. This is the proof now of ISKCON is showing its true faces. The devotees are leaving so beautifully, not at all disturbed. I think Stoka Krishna said, "I don't want anything more." Prabhupada, "Ichha kichhu nahi, I don't have the slightest desire anymore. He's teaching us. And the devotees are like that. And any other one you call me, they'll be hanging on to ma, ma, ma. And what is their destination? Okay, you want a ma? I'll give you another ma. They take another birth in another womb again and again. Maybe a dog ma, maybe a cat ma also. Dangerous situation. But the devotees, they're so fixed in Krishna consciousness. Actually, this is all that Prabhupada wants to do. This is all Krishna wants. Why Krishna comes here? He said, oh, he's not here. He's not in the material world. He doesn't come here. He's not here. He's in his own abode enjoying. So the reason he does come, you come there also, come out of this material world. This is his main business, and this is the main business of Krishna's devotees. They're simply telling you how to go back to Krishna again. And we're seeing it be done. This is history. This is history in its making. Never you see this like this before. Very rarely a person actually goes back to Godhead. Very rare. But now it's becoming commonplace. And not the people with high birth, even the Malechas now. Take birth as Malecha, and you go back to... In the Vedas, you won't find that. You won't find that. Bahunam Jamananti, after thousands and thousands of births, Krishna says... Being a wise man, that means being civilized, not even Malecha, it's way above Malecha. After you're civilized, Gyani, looking for knowledge, takes thousands of those births. That's the kind of the beginning point. Vasudeva Sarvamiti, okay, I guess I got to start surrendering to Krishna then. From then on, then you've got to become perfect in that. Lord Chaitanya's movement is something completely different. Because there the requirement, the qualification is required. Here, they're saying it's a prerequisite. These qualifications are a prerequisite. You have to have all these good qualifications to go back to Godhead. You have to be completely controlled. You have to. But in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, he's saying it's too difficult for you. Therefore, I'm going to overlook all these things. You don't have to have this prerequisite. You simply have to have that strong desire to serve Krishna's devotees. That's all. That's all I'm seeing, that you want to be engaged in devotional service. Whether you think you're the body, then surrender the body in Krishna's service to Krishna's devotees. If you think you're the mind, give the mind to Krishna. If you think you're the soul, then give the soul in service to Krishna. This is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Simply engage, whatever you identify yourself as, that is your realization. Nitya Krishna Das. So if I'm this body, okay, and Krishna's Das, let me engage my body and mind in Krishna. That's what Lord Chaitanya is saying. You don't have to be a self-realized soul. He's more pleased. Krishna says he's very pleased with self-realized souls. Just like Sanatana Goswami, he approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Amiki. I don't know who I am. I don't know if I'm this body. I don't have a mind, I don't have a soul, I don't know what I am. But whatever I am, that I'm surrendering unto you. So this is easy realization, because you have to realize you're something. I mean, most people think, well, I'm this body. Okay, then the body is yours, Krishna. Let me engage it in your service. And Lord Chaitanya is seeing that. But previously, no, there had to be pure consciousness. That was a prerequisite. Otherwise, Lord Narayan wouldn't recognize you. You can't get in by Kunta. Unless you have the qualification. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has just ripped the doors open for Golok without qualification here. Just your sincere desire to serve, that's all. So all this mercy is coming through the devotee. Otherwise, how we would know anything if the devotee didn't tell us, if the devotee didn't come and show us and teach us. So Madhavacharya is one of our gurus in Parampara, so we're eternally grateful to him. To this Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to Srila Prabhupada and to all the devotees who are humbly following in his footsteps. Srima Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Shama Veda Bhaktabinda ki, Nitai Go Premanandi. Hare Krishna, thank you very much.